Let's take a look at some of the new data validation features in Silverlight 3. So let's make a new project in here. Let's just do File, New Project, and we'll go for Silverlight Application 29. That's cool. And we'll just let Visual Studio put this into a new website for us. I just want to add a couple of classes that I've already written. So let me just pop up and add existing items. Just going to go up to Silverlight Application 27, which is one that I worked on earlier, and grab this Person class and this Validation Helper class. Let me just add those two in. Let me change the namespace on this to be Application 29 to make things simpler, and the same thing on this guy here, 29 to make this thing simpler. And let's just collapse a few namespaces. Okay, so what did I just add in? I added in this Person class. It's very, very simple. Person has a first name, has a last name, has an age. And in the setters for these properties, we use this validation helper class to check that somebody has provided a value for first name and that they've provided a value for last name and that the field age and its value is within the range of 18 and 65. So validation helper is just a really simple class. If we go to the definition, you can see that what it does, checks a required field. So if you provided null or empty, it throws an exception saying this field was required. And check field range, if you are outside the range, it throws an exception saying that the field was outside the range. And I just use this simple exception up here called Mike's validation exception. Okay, so those are pretty simple classes. Let's go to the UI for our Silverlight application here. And let's just get rid of this explicit width and height. And let me just add a little tiny piece of UI in here. So instead of this grid, perhaps what we'll have is a stack panel. And let's just do that there. And into the stack panel, what I'll do is just throw a text box. So let's say we'll have a text box and we'll say text equals binding first name two-way. Okay, so we just data bind that. Let's just set the font size to be something big. And that will probably do for me. And let me just put a button on here that says content equals click me. And actually, let's put a margin around this. And let's put a margin around this as well. Okay, great. So we created a little piece of UI with the stack panel called layout root. Let's jump to the code behind this. And let's go ahead. And when this application loads, then what we can do is go and create one of those person objects. So let's say person P is a new one of those. And we'll just set the first name, the last name, and the age. And we'll go ahead and say that layout root.dataContext equals that person we just created. Let's build this. Let's press F5 on this, spin it up in a browser. And we should get a text box and a button, essentially. Great, so there's our text box and there's our button. And if we just pop to the code behind again for a second, let's go to our person class for a second. And let's put a breakpoint on this check required field. And then let's go back to the UI. And let's clear that text and hit tab. And we're now checking a null value as a required field. Actually, sorry, it's an empty string, not a null value. And we can wander into the checker. And what it's going to do is throw an exception, which will really appear nowhere. So in Silverlight 2, this is what happens. If your objects that you're binding to this way happen to throw exceptions when they do validation, then you really get those exceptions swallowed by the framework and you don't get to see them. In Silverlight 3, this changes. So let's take a look at how this changes in Silverlight 3. So let's just go back to our UI definition. And let me just put this stack panel so it lays itself out in the center of the screen. And what we'll do is we'll change this binding definition to also say validates on exceptions equals true. So that's a new setting in Silverlight 3. Let's press F5 and let's get the UI back on the screen. Okay, so there's my text box again. And if I clear this out and hit tab, you'll see that we get this little red highlight rectangle around the text box. And if we go and hover over it, you'll see it says first name is required. Now, this is part of default sort of validation UI that now lives in, for instance, a Silverlight text box. Now, this thing is completely stylable, so you don't have to have this looking the way that it looks. And perhaps we should just deviate off for 1 second to Expression Blend to take a look at that. Let's go look at that in Expression Blend for a second. So let me just spin up Expression Blend. And this, I think our application was called Silverlight Application 29. Okay, so let's just go and do File, Open Project Solution, Silverlight Application 29. Open that up in Expression Blend. And let's just go to the project here and look at our mainpage.xaml. And what we'll see, if I can just collapse this down for a second, what we'll see is that we've got obviously a text box. So there's our text box. Let's go and have a look at the control parts for this and edit a copy of the template for it. Let's just do that for a second. And if we go and look at the template, we can see that in the objects for the template, we have various things that make up a text box, but now we have this validation error element. And in there, let's just see if we can get that back over there. We have a grid, and in that grid, we have a couple of paths. And then what we can also see is that if we go to the states over here, you can see now that we have new validation states. So we have valid, invalid without the focus, and invalid with the focus. And you can see over there on the right-hand side that those little paths are becoming visible at the point where we put these on the screen. So essentially, we have new template parts in a control like a text box for this default exception display. And as you'll know, if you've looked at Silverlight controls, that means that you can go and replace the look and feel of these particular elements. They don't have to look like this. Okay, so let's get rid of Blend. You get the idea about replacing the look and feel. And let's go back over here to Visual Studio. And so let's just flesh out our UI a little bit more. So let's steal this text box and put another two in place. And we'll bind these, of course, to last name. And we'll bind this to age. And hopefully, if we press our F5 again and spin this back up, we should see we've got first name, last name, age. And they're all kind of behaving the same way. So, you know, we tab off that, we get the error display. If we set this to 12, we get the error display. You get the idea as to where all that stuff's coming from. So that's one aspect of validation in Silverlight 3. But there's a little bit more that we can show here. So let's take a look at something else for a second. So let's go back to our UI definition over here. And let's add another property to this binding. The property is called notify on validation error. We'll set that to true as well. And let's just copy that and paste it onto our other little pieces of UI down here. Let's do the same thing there. Okay, great. So what this does is it causes, when there's an exception kicking around, it causes a routed event to be raised that we can handle anywhere up the UI tree. So let's handle it, I don't know, let's handle it up here on our user control. So let's go ahead and say binding validation error equals, and we'll throw in a new event handler and we'll jump to that event handler in the code behind. And so now what we're going to get, maybe we should refactor it. Let's just rename it on validation error. Let's go and put a breakpoint in here. I'll just put a piece of code there so we can see it. F9 on that, F5 in Visual Studio. And so what we're going to get now, in addition to our control by control UI display, what we should find is that not only do we get that, but we also get a validation error here, which is kind of neat. So there's a validation error. And if we do that wrong on that one, then we get a validation error. Now, one of the interesting things about this event that we get here is we get this event args, and on this event args, we get this thing called action. You can see the error, but we also get this thing called action. An action is an error event action. If we take a look at that for a second, you can see that we've got added and removed. And what this makes it quite easy to do is build up a list of validation errors that are currently on the screen. So let's see if we can do that pretty cheaply. Let's go and build ourselves public property. So just have a property. I'll have an observable collection of validation error. I'll call that errors. Okay, so we'll just go and fix that namespace for a second. And when we first load up the UI up here, I guess what we should do is say validation error, errors equals new one of those collections. And then down here, what we'll do is we'll do a switch on e.action. And so if we're being told there's a new error being added, then what we will do is we'll say errors.add, and that will be e.error. And if it's removed, we'll say errors.remove e.error. OK, Okay, great. So we've got a little list now of errors in this observable collection. So what we should be able to do is build a little list of that. Let's just go back to our UI up here. Let's put a list box on here. I'll call this list errors. We'll say item source equals binding. And we'll have to come up with something to display in a second. If we go and look at the actual e.error itself, you can see that it has an exception. And that has a message on it, as you would expect. So it's exception.message. So if we just go back to our list box, we can say listbox.itemTemplate. That's going to just be a data template. And we'll just have a text block in there. And the text can be data bound to exception.message. Okay. And so all we need to do is provide a data context for this thing. So let's just go back to our loaded code. And we'll say that listErrors.dataContext equals errors. Let's see if we can do that. Let's see if we can build. Okay, cool. And so if we go and rerun, what we're hoping to do is as we create additional errors, let's just let that spin up. Oh, the list box is very small at the moment. So you can see my first error has gone down into the list. My second error has gone down into the list. My third error has gone down into the list. And as we fix these errors, we're still doing the field-by-field validation as well, of course. But as we fix these errors and change that to 45, for instance, that list shrinks, that list shrinks, that list shrinks. So that's quite cool, because what we're doing here is we can either take this approach of dealing on a field-by-field basis, or we can use this validation error to build up a list of all the things that are currently wrong on the screen and not let the user, you know, do some action until they've fixed all those things. And we can display a nice list of all the things that they've currently got wrong. Now, up until now, we've done things that have mostly been sort of declarative and automatic, but we can be a little bit more manual if we want to. Let's just go back to our main UI for a second, and let's go back to our button. And let's say that, let's change the text of this button. Let's just change it to read submit. And let's say that click equals some new event handler. And let's go and jump into the code behind here. And we'll refactor this. Let's just rename it onSubmit, something like that. And let me just move this member declaration down here. OK, so we've now got a button click. And I suppose at this point, I wanted to know, have I got any validation errors? You know, is there anything wrong with the controls on the screen? Well, what I can do is I can walk up to each control. So let's go up to each control. In my stack panel is called layout root, and it has a property called children. And each one of those things is going to be a UI element. And on that UI element, and so I can walk up to each one of these and use new attached properties. And there's a helper method to help us do that on a class called validation. There is an errors property, and there is an hasError property. So we can just use this helper, which is a static. So we can say if validation.getHasError on our item, then we can do something about it. You know, I'll just put a piece of code there so we can put a breakpoint on it. In fact, we'll just put a piece of breakpoint there. If they do have errors, we can say, let's just say validation.getErrors. And that's going to give me an observable collection of validation errors. And I can pass the item. Let's just say varErrors equals. And then I'll move my index equals 10 just to there, so we've got another line of code just for the debugger. So let's press F5 on that, see how that goes. So let's create a couple of errors on the screen. So we'll go ahead and just say, let's make this first field empty. That's an error. Let's make this one 12. That's an error. Let's click submit. And so what we're doing now is having a look at all these items and saying, oh, this one does have errors. So let's take a look at this errors collection. There's one error in there. If we take a look at it. Have a look at the exception, and the message is first name is required. So that's one of the errors that we've got at the moment. If we go around that loop a little bit further, let's take a look at the next control, no errors. Next control has errors. Errors in here, let's go and have a look. We just root through, and we can see field age value is outside range. So we can do this stuff manually as well. And so you've got this choice between automatic UI, which is templatable, building a list of errors, which is pretty easy to do with the rooted events that we get, or manually asking, whether we've got errors or not, and working that way. So lots of choice around how you do validation, but fundamentally, in Silverlight 3, if you've got objects that throw exceptions from property setters in the face of invalid values, then there's lots of stuff that you can do working around validation with those kind of classes.